know that from being a tough battle, we have to address issues going forward, but don't forget that we still have issues that we have to address in the past. So we're going to make every effort to take care of those issues as we can get them done in the most expedient way. With that, in the court report, we have some minutes. Okay, let's put that on hold. At this time, we're going to have comments from the floor. Got a microphone over there, and we'll call them as we see them. What I'd like to do, again, I will reiterate this. As you can see, this agenda is quite long. We've got a lot to address tonight. Keep your comments to within 5 minutes and not stretch it any further if you can. Is that, I hope, agreeable? Let's give it a try. Bev, I think you're up first. Thomas? I'm a newbie.
I'm short and sweet, in more ways than one. Let's stop. I'd like to have the committee and anyone responsible in the South Jacksonville government to stop the witch hunt. The committee has done their job with the investigation, and unless you plan on checking every employee, consultant, board member, this needs to stop. If you need a petition to stop, I'll be glad to work on one. Let's bring some peace to South Jacksonville, not all this antagonism. I think we've had more than enough of that. No one is without a skeleton in the closet somewhere. Thank you.
Next individuals, Ms. Law, you're on board.
I just have a few things that I wanted to ask or bring up. Regarding Godfrey Park, I noticed that there's an orange construction fence blocking off half of the park, and most of the time it's knocked down. It separates the partial construction of the gazebo that is supposed to be built, but it's kind of been under construction for, I think, almost a year now. I was wondering if it would be okay to either fix the fence to replace it, make it more stable, or at least fence off just the area of the unfinished gazebo construction so the rest of the grassy area can be used. Right now, that unfinished construction is a safety hazard. Any kid that gets past that fence can fall into the trench and get hurt. And I don't think you want a lawsuit. The other thing is, I live on Hardin Avenue, and I was wondering if a vehicle weight limit could be put on Hardin Avenue. There is now a lot of semi-truck traffic on the road. There are no sidewalks. Many people are walking down this road to get to Godfrey Park, including children. I see this from my window, and it really scares me. I won't even walk with my child on that road. I think that reducing the truck traffic may help make things a little safer for people walking on that side of the road if you're not going to put sidewalks in. Now, going to, again, to Hardin Avenue and getting into the sidewalk issue, I was wondering if any of you have spoken with anyone from the Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity about the grant that was used for the Hardin Avenue project.
I have not yet.
Okay, do any of the trustees know about the letter that I sent to Decchio? Okay. The village received a $250,000 grant from Decchio. And this grant was supposed to be used for the resurfacing of Hardin Avenue, and included in the plan was supposed to be sidewalks. At least that's what it says in the plan. My husband and I FOIA'd the request from the village, and also we FOIA'd this from Decchio. And the reason for resurfacing the road and adding the sidewalks was to increase vehicle traffic, improve pedestrian and vehicular safety on this road. And it specifically says that in the application. Not all of this work was completed, obviously. No sidewalks have been put on there. The street parking has been taken away. I really can't have visitors at the house unless they park in my driveway. The only reason we found out about the no parking on Hardin Avenue before the signs were posted was our next door neighbor had a yard sale, and there was a police officer waiting around the block to write tickets for anybody who parked in front. And also, everyone's driveway was supposed to be done 5 feet up from the road so that there wouldn't be any kind of drag when you pull into the driveway. So since we live on this road that we have no sidewalks, we have increased vehicle traffic and speeding, we have no parking, we have no improved pedestrian and vehicle safety on this road, and we have money that supposedly there was extra money from the project diverted to other projects, including that gazebo that's supposed to be built in Godfrey Park. And also, some money went towards a water main replacement on Muller Road, which coincidentally is where the construction firm who worked on Hardin Avenue is located. I would really hope that the village will meet with Decchio. I have personally spoken to someone at Decchio. They said they are supposed to be looking into this. They said they spoke with someone at the village, and they have set up a meeting. I'm sure that it was before you took over, Mr. Waltrip. But they said that they are actively looking into this, and I don't know who they spoke to. I don't know when this meeting was supposed to be set up. I don't have any other information. Decchio won't tell me anything. But to me, it seems that the village has misused grant funds, and I think that this really should be looked into. That's all.
Don't know, I am Sheila Myers. For the past 25 plus years, I was asked by the village board to chair the South Jacksonville celebration in the last 5 years of the concert. For the past 25 plus years that I was involved with the celebration and concert in the cornfield, they were never about making money. They were a means to bring family, friends, neighbors in our community, and others from outside together for a great family event. The celebration, concert in the cornfield, and Corn Crib 5K are budgeted items using hotel motel tax funds. We promoted the village using billboard signs newspaper ads, radio and television spots, interviews with radio and television, and social media. Through this promotion, we were able to bring people into the community from all over the United States. They bought our gas, food at our restaurants, stayed in our hotels, and were able to see what a great village we had. This is exactly what hotel motel tax is supposed to be spent on, promoting the village. I have been blessed to work with the best group of hardworking volunteers over the past quarter century. Some not even from South Jacksonville. They just wanted to be a part of a celebration, concert in the cornfield, or the Corn Crib 5K to volunteer their time and bring the community a great family event. We work purely as a volunteer basis for this community and had a sense of pride in this event. The committee has volunteered hundreds, even thousands of hours over the years to be sure we could deliver a great event that the community and others from all over the country have come to know as a place to visit and a great event. They come and spend the weekend, see the Little Miss pageant on Friday night, start their Saturday with either the parade or maybe a run in the 5K, and stay for the concert on Saturday night. I have been privileged to be able to work with some of these people I might never have met if not for this opportunity. These people will forever have a warm place in my heart. I thank all the volunteers that brought the celebration to this community for the past 25 years and made the concert in the cornfield a reality. Those that helped sponsor these great events, we could not have done it without you. Thank you so much. People that have volunteered and served on this committee did not deserve comments made by members of this board. Everyone on this committee is just as trustworthy, honest, and truthful as anybody on this board, this room, or anywhere else. Over the past few months, I've sat in this room, just as I have for all the years before. I have to say that I've been very disappointed by the behavior displayed by some adults in the gallery these last few months. There have been temper tantrums, yelling, finger-pointing, ludicrous behavior by most standards. A complete lack of respect for the board and others in this room. Just because someone says something out loud and in front of others does not make it the truth, especially if all they have is speculation. Those that would believe that something underhanded was going on have never approached me and asked any questions. I guess it's a better story when you can sensationalize something that sounds underhanded, because when you find out the truth, you find there is no story at all. All some want to do is spin unsupported innuendo, half-truths, and speculation to make it appear that they have uncovered some deep, dark secret, when again, there is no story. If you're going to put yourself out there, check your facts, ask the people in question that are involved. Don't insult, complain, malign, and smear people's reputations. There have been accusations made about me and supposed payments I received of thousands of dollars in airline tickets given to me by Gordon Jumper. I'm going to say this once, so listen. I have never received any money, not a dime, from Gordon Jumper. I have never received airline tickets. I have, however, for the past 5 years, received from the South Jacksonville Village Board a gift after the celebration and concert. These consisted of either gift certificates or gift cards. They were presented at a regular board meeting in front of the full board and those in attendance at the meeting. I did not seek these gifts. My only reason for being involved in this event was to volunteer and give back to the community. I did accept them as I believe they were given in appreciation by the board. All these gifts were approved by the board. A lot of problems would disappear if we talked to each other instead of about each other.
Behalf of three homes on South Diamond, they get flooded every time we get an inch of rain. I always took this out on Jumpy thinking he was giving me a snowball, not wanting to do anything about it. Well, he's gone, And in uncertain terms, I got notice today that the village will not fix my problem or my neighbor's problem, and it really wasn't Jumpy that was the problem. It's right here. Nobody wants to do it. So if you've got a water problem, fix it yourself. Now I've got a question. A few meetings ago, we were told that there was a $3,000 credit per resident in South Jacksonville. What is that for? Please answer, somebody. Nobody has an answer.
I don't think I can address that issue at this time.
Okay. Will you please get with me so I can find out what that $3,000 is for?
I will do that.
Thank you. Now I got to go spend my own money to fix a flooding problem that two neighbors down from me got fixed by South Jacksonville, but I'm not good enough. Have a good day.
Most of you know I'm Roger Strang of Virginia, Illinois, and wife Janet. Approximately 9 months ago, we purchased the 8.5 acres south of Orlando Street at the top of the hill. Normally, it takes 60 to 90 days to obtain an excavation and a building permit. Jumper illegally and repeatedly has canceled our zoning meetings, which he cannot cancel, and he's lied to us. Jumper has tried to stop us every time because we would not give him approximately 2 acres of our ground at no cost. This is completely illegal as stated in the United States and the Illinois Constitution. We have spent thousands of extra dollars and hundreds of hours of our time to obtain an excavation and building permit and has to reschedule our building contractors 3 different times. Jumper filed a veto the last few days of his village presidency, stopping our approved zoning annexation to the village that was passed 6-0 by the trustees on June the 4th meeting. The law states the village president must file the veto at the next regular meeting. Mr. Jumper, where are you? Jumper submitted his veto and has not been here to serve the veto and is no longer the village president. It should have been thrown in the trash and also shredded. The attorney will tell you that the veto is not valid, yet some of the village trustees and village attorney are still honoring it by the advice of the village attorney. Jumper's last day in office was Sunday, June the 21st at midnight. We did not refile our annexation papers until Wednesday, June the 24th. Jumper cannot veto something that was filed after he left office. The ordinance we filed was number 1003. My understanding, it was approved by Mr. Yao and by Mr. Manker, the two attorneys. The reason the village wants to honor the veto is so Mr. Jumper would not take the village to court. Call his bluff. Does Jumper really want to get up in front of the judge and tell his side of the case and all the illegal things that he has done to us? I'm the one who should take Jumper and the village of South Jacksonville to court for illegally delaying our examination and our permits. We have always told the truth and followed every village law. I do not agree with a village attorney to honor the illegal veto. We are the ones being penalized for following the law. Last month at the June 4th meeting, we were promised an annexation agreement and a building permit tonight. They're trying to stall us off and have us come back next month and do again. This is the same old style leadership that has been going on for years. I also blame the original trustees and the village attorney for our lost building time and expenses. It's the job of the trustees and to know what your mayor's doing and also represent the citizens of South Jacksonville. We have been promised an annexation and a building permit three times and also new open leadership. Thank you to the new trustees and the village clerk who have been helpful. Mr. Waltrip says we need to forget the past and move on. Let's hold the past leadership accountable and also the new. We would like to move on also. Very little progress has been accomplished since we started. This is basically the same talk that I have given for 9 months. It always comes back. Come back next month. We are running out of building time. Jumper's goal has been all the time to stall us out until we agree to his terms. Jumper is the only one in the South Village, Jacksonville Village, that has objected to our building. Do we have to wait until August the 6th meeting, or can a special meeting be called to address our new annexation so we can start building? Also, can the trustees acknowledge and veto Jumper's on Ordinance 1000 and 1001 and pass our ordinance of 1003 tonight? The only difference in those ordinances was that we submitted them after his time because I did not trust Mr. Jumper. I figured he'd do something like this. And it's the exact same thing, been approved by the board and by the attorneys. It was voted on at the last meeting on the three sections and everything went 6-0, 6-0, 6-0. Does anybody have any questions that you'd like to ask me?
What are you prepared to do if the board doesn't follow what you've advised?
Janet wants a house and I want to sue him.
How's your attorney? Okay.
Gotta keep mom happy. You've made her mad too, guys. So, but let's get the deal cleaned up. If not right, he's dirty, he's crooked. You want to find anything on me, go ahead and dig all you want to, boys. I have things in life that I wish were different, but I have nothing to hide. So dig all you want to, guys. But we've earned our money, we've done everything right, and this should have been 90 days instead of 9 months. Let's get the deal cleaned up, please. Thank you.
Good evening, I'm Janet Strang. At the June 4th meeting of the Village of South Jacksonville, the six trustees voted unanimously to let our property at 1721 Orlando Street be annexed into the village if Village Attorney Alan Yao and our attorney Tyson Manker would work together and get the paperwork drawn up. They did just that, and the final draft of the annexation agreement was filed on June 24th and had been reviewed and approved by Attorney Yao. We were so excited, thinking we were going to be annexed into the village at tonight's meeting and still have time to build our new home this year, only to find out again we have been pushed back and weren't even on the agenda for our annexation. What a disappointment. At the first meeting after Jumper's retirement, the new village president, Steve Waltrip, told the crowd how the trustees wanted to be more open to people's concerns, put the past behind the village, and make it a better community. To me, it seems like some of the same dishonest paths as before are being followed. We have been talking with village officials for nearly 9 months, coming to meetings, filing the necessary paperwork, and following all the necessary requirements to have our property annexed into the village. And all we have to show for it is thousands of dollars of expenses, piles of papers, and mounting stress caused from the dishonesty demonstrated by the village officials. I wish someone would just explain to me why the village would not be excited too to have someone from another town want to come and build a new home in their community. Instead, the village officials are making our dream become a nightmare. Roger and I have been nothing but honest and cooperative during the process of wanting to annex into the village. We hope that the new leadership will work with us and not fall back into the dishonest ways of the past. Thank you.
Next, we have Greg Nelson. Come forward, please.
Good evening. Weird standing in front of a microphone. I thought I'd come today and talk to everyone about trust. Trust is where we get the word trustee. Trustee is a person who accepts our trust that they'll do the right thing. They'll serve the village. Pass these around if you don't mind. And they'll stand for our best interest. What we have here are trustees that haven't always done that. We have trustees who, prior to a few weeks ago, seemed, well, with the exception of a few, seemed perfectly happy to rubber stamp whatever Gordon Jumper wanted. In the last several months, we've all learned that the trustees are capable, on their own, without the village president, of issuing their own board agenda. They're capable of putting their own action items on there, their own discussion items. They're capable of having it, voting on those things without the village president. They did that just a few weeks ago to rescind Richard Evans's retirement agreement. So where in the past were they not doing, why in the past were they not doing that to curtail some of Gordon Jumper's power? To change some of the ordinances that are grossly in need of changing? Why did they not stand up to him then? I don't have the answers. They have the answers, but they don't have to answer these questions here. I understand that, and I don't expect them to. What you see in front of you, what I've handed out, was a blog post written by My Social Jacksonville with some statements that had been made by members of the Board of Trustees about us. Us out here in the public, the voters, taxpayers, regular Joe, regular Jane. One of the statements was, the public just doesn't understand. They don't understand what's going on. Okay, I'll give you that. Why don't they explain it to us? Why don't they say, hey, look, this is what we're having to deal with. This is what happened in the past. This is what we need to do going on in the future. Please don't expect us to just follow your lead because you've not given us a reason to believe that your lead is the right place to go in the past. You said the public doesn't know what they want. Different people want different things. That's true. The public is not a single body. But the public wants transparency, fairness, and progress. That's taking from My Social Jacksonville. I'm not plagiarizing. They've said, well, they're not the ones up here doing this job. No crap. There's kids in the audience. No crap, we're not the ones doing the job. We didn't ask to do it. We didn't run for it. We didn't go around asking for people to sign a petition to put our names on a ballot, and we didn't ask people to vote for us on the ballot. We didn't do that. They did. They asked for the position they're in. And in the past, that position might have just been, okay, Gordon, this is what you want? I vote yay. It's not that way anymore. He's not here to just issue things that he wants. They need to make decisions on their own. They need to make decisions for people like the Strangs who've been screwed over. They need to make decisions for people like Walter whose property's underwater. You know, it's a tough job. But you asked for it, so do it or resign. You know, Mr. Waltrip, last week you said you didn't want to dwell on the past. You wanted to turn the page and move forward. There's another man who sat in front of a group of people and said he didn't want to talk about the past. It's Mark McGuire. He's called in front of Congress to talk about steroids. He said, I'm not here to talk about the past. And And then that man spent a decade in exile from his profession, from the sport that he loved, until he came back to the Cardinals as the hitting coach. And he stood in the hallway with reporters, told them what happened. Said, "Hey, look, I did this. I'm sorry. I wish I hadn't done it." You know what's happened after that? He's just gone on to baseball doing his thing. There's an analogy there. You talk about the past, air it out. You see how far the rabbit hole goes on the negative things that have happened. You put it out there to the public and you say, "This is what happened. We know what happened. And we're not going to do this in the future." You don't just sit there and say, "Ah, well, we'll just ignore that." Back in April, I said that I wanted justice. I'm sure the people, I spoke for the people, I don't know if I was right to do so, wanted justice. And if that justice was the ethics committee saying there was nothing they could do, okay. And that happened to be the case. You know what? Okay. If that justice is that that ethics report goes up the chain, is investigated, nothing happens to the people that allegedly stole from our village, okay. There was no evidence. That's the justice process was served. But go with it. But you don't get justice from just ignoring what happened in the past. I was happy to hear you today say, you know, you wanted to deal with things that happened in the past. I was happy to hear that. But you know, we can't turn the page on the Gordon Jumper era until the ink is dry on the paper and the story's been told. Thank you.
You know, before I begin my prepared remarks, I'd like to respond to an earlier speaker and just point out historical fact. The fact that we're having this meeting today, coincidence as it may be, is historically significant. Those of you who know your history know that it was this day, 239 years ago, when the 13 colonies agreed upon their document that said, "We are no longer British colonies." We all know the 4th of July is our Independence Day because it took them a couple days to get the word out. Okay, fine. The document, historically, look it up, agreed to on July 2nd. Those colonists became these United States because they spoke out, because they recognized that there were things going on in their lands that were not right. They had taxation without representation. They were forced to quarter soldiers. Now, 239 years later, we're not fighting against an overseas monarchy. Some would say it's not the same. I would say it most definitely is. 4 months ago, the Illinois State Police report came out. All 518 pages worth. And it showed us exactly some of the things going on that I would guess, conservatively, 95% of the people in this community had no clue about. So I would just say to the earlier speaker who has taken offense to people speaking out, and by the way, everything that we have put out there as far as numbers is freely available in documents that My Social Jacksonville has posted, that Morgan County Watchdogs has posted, that several entities have posted that have shown these are the numbers. The numbers don't lie. I'd like to address Trustee Sonny Smith. I wasn't going to do this tonight until WLDS Radio published an article yesterday that moved up my timetable on certain things. Mr. Mike Woodyard of Morgan County Watchdogs at the last meeting made public allegations of official misconduct against trustee Sonny Smith. Specifically, that official misconduct is related to her statement of economic interests required by each person sitting here, with the obvious exception of Attorney Yao, who is not an elected official, to be filed with the county clerk at a certain point each year for the previous year. In that article, Trustee Smith, I'm paraphrasing here, Mr. Turk from WLDS can perhaps correct me if I'm wrong, I believe Trustee Smith's quote when asked about the allegations was, "All of this is a lie. I've done nothing illegal. I've done nothing wrong." Mr. Turk, am I close enough? Thank you. When asked, okay, are you going to produce the necessary licenses that Morgan County Watchdogs alleges you don't have? Trustee Smith refused to go on tape with WLDS, but her response was, and I quote, "Probably." I would ask, what's the holdup? I think the people sitting in this room, with a possible few exceptions, as it's been pointed out to me, I should stop speaking for the community as a whole. I'll give you that. I think people would like to know. I would also, however, like to bring to your attention, Clerk Glasscock, to those documents, please. Trustee Smith claims that she does have a license to operate Sonny Smith Catering. At the last meeting, when these allegations were read into the record by Mr. Woodyard, Trustee Smith was seen, and I have it on video, and I have this video posted to my Social Jacksonville Facebook. She was seen mouthing words. Now, I was unfortunately at the wrong angle to get a good look at what she was saying, but several people in the audience have said it looked like she said something to the effect of either, "I do have a license," or "I am licensed." This document, obtained from the Illinois Department of Public Health Tuesday afternoon. The trustees each have a copy of it. I have posted it to mysocialjacksonville.com and to the Facebook page. This is the food manager certificate required by the state of Illinois in order to serve food for public consumption. This is a basic part of the licensure required to have a catering license. I specifically asked the employee to whom I spoke on the phone at the Illinois Department of Public Health's main office in Springfield. I asked specifically, and I quote, "Is this food manager certificate an absolute requirement for an individual to operate a catering business within the state of Illinois?" I was informed, yes, it is. The document shows an expiration date. I've made note of it with an arrow. Obviously, you can't see it, but it is posted, as I said. Expiration date of this document. By the way, this is the only document on record at the State of Illinois Department of Public Health for Sonny Smith of any type. Expiration dates, October 15th, 2011. Black and white, trustee. I'd like an answer, but I understand you're probably not going to do it. So, that's now in the record. I'd also like to bring up a conversation between President Waltrip and myself, in which he questioned, and I thought at the time, it's a fair question, was the $1,450.22 paid to Sonny Smith Catering on September the 30th, 2012, labeled as in the ledger of this village, obtained through the Freedom of Information Act nearly 90 days ago. It is labeled, and I quote, "catering for concert." Okay, reasonable. She runs catering business. Although clearly, as we've now established, she probably, unless I'm missing something, I'll allow maybe the possibility, wasn't licensed. I'm wrapping it up, Mr. President.
Thank you.
President Waltrip posed the question to me, was it a payment or was it a reimbursement? I don't understand the difference, but I ran with that assumption of, okay, maybe there is a difference. However, in the very same documents obtained through FOIA, and in fact, on the very next page, there is an entry right below the 2011 note of payment to Trustee Sonny Smith for, again, description, cater banned food. Right below it, the next line, there's an entry for now Clerk Danny Glasscock. The amount of $26.01. The important part is the description specifically says, quote, reimburse concert VIP supplies? Mr. Waltrip, I believe you have your answer. It was a payment. Therefore, Trustee Sonny Smith, by failing in the Statement of Economic Interest filed May 1st, 2013 for the calendar year 2012, by failing to report the $1,450.22 paid to her by the village, that is over the threshold required of $1,200. Therefore, it is my stipulation and the stipulation of at least one other person, Mr. Woodyard, that that constitutes official misconduct. I'll read to you briefly from the form. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I understand that, sir. Quote, I understand that the penalty for willfully filing a false or incomplete statement shall be a fine not to exceed $1,000 or imprisonment in a penal institution other than the penitentiary not to exceed 1 year or both fine and imprisonment. Respectfully, with this new evidence, I would ask for the resignation of Trustee Sonny Smith due to official misconduct and would ask the board to take appropriate legal action as necessary as a result. Thank you.
Some of you may know me, others may not. My name is Harry Jennings. I lived here in South Jacksonville for about 15 years now. Formerly, before I'm a business owner now, I was a chief of police. I have a degree in political science, government. I even went to law school. I say this not to try and toot my horn or give out my resume. I say this because I don't want any misunderstandings of I'm not somebody that doesn't understand how government works. Trust me, I do. I've been coming to the South Jacksonville meetings for a long time now. The first time I've ever spoke is tonight. Even with all the drama, all the theatrics, I've remained silent. So, if you're wondering why I'm speaking now, it's a good question. Let me start by saying this. I understand there's been a lot of resignations. Those named in the ethics complaint are now all gone. I understand, Mr. Walter, you're in a new position. Only days. And I think it's unfair to be overly critical of you. You're never going to make everybody happy. There are going to be some that say, I want this done different, or that should have been done a different way. You're always going to have the Monday morning quarterbacks. You're always going to have the backseat drivers. Yet, through all this, I've remained hopeful that you and the rest of the board got it. However, after the actions that occurred earlier today that I've been made aware of, it's apparent that at least some of you still don't get it. Most of you know that I was appointed to the recent Ethics Committee. As part of that committee, we pored over hundreds of pages of documents, and we all agreed that the accusations of apparent wrongdoings and those that were disturbing, to say the least. In reading those hundreds of pages of the State Police Report, many things jumped out as suspicious. All this has been covered in our earlier report, but I want to point out one thing that really, in reading that whole 400 and some odd pages, one thing that literally made my jaw drop, and that is when it came to the page of Ms. Douglas being represented by our village attorney. He came to her aid and counsel. There's no other way to read that. When doing so, he violated his ethics with representing the village of South Jacksonville. He represented a person that was being accused of stealing from the village. But it's worse than that. His law firm then billed us for those hours. Again, this was all covered in the last meeting. So why do I bring this back up? Well, Mr. Walter, last meeting you made a comment and you said it's time to move forward. We don't want to live in the past. I agree with that to a point. We got to get past all this. We want to go back to the way it used to be with the boring meetings and nobody showed up. Honestly, most meetings nobody shows up. But you said something at the beginning of this meeting that gave me hope again, though. You said we need to move forward, but we have to take care of the issues at hand. Today I was made aware that the person that you just appointed as chief of police was attempting to take care of some of the issues at hand. Yet he was denied documentation that was apparently given to our village council. Documentation that was apparently withheld this whole time that we had the ethics committee. If I were you, sir, I would do whatever you had to do. I would beg him to come back, let him do his job. Make no mistake, sending that report off to the state was no way of washing our hands with it. No outside agency can come in and do an investigation without not only the cooperation, but the assistance of the South Jacksonville Police Department. Real quick, let me make an analogy. You buy a new home, you come in, and you see there's bugs. I call an exterminator. I have the house fumigated. I clean the house top to bottom. I move in, and I go forward with my life. What it seems to me is happening is we come into the house, you see the bugs, you squish a few of them, you sweep them under the rug, and then you go in and you say, I'm clean. The guy that was here before was dirty, but I'm clean, so the bugs will go away. They don't turn into butterflies and fly away. You have to take care of what's there. You gotta look in the cracks and the crevices. It doesn't need to be public. It doesn't need to be all the theatrics. Let your police department do what you appointed and hired them to do. Thank you.
Next, we have Mr. Brothers. Would you like to report?
As you notice, I don't have paper in front of me. I'm speaking from the heart. 11 years ago, Chief Evans came down to Palmar. I was chief down there. The day he came down, I was wrestling a cow out on Route 111. I was covered with cow crap. And I was ready to leave Palmar and go somewhere else. I didn't have health insurance. Thanks to the village, they caught my heart murmur. The village covered me in time and everything, took good care of me, and I always appreciate that from the village. One deal I always had with Chief Evans, the reason I started on June 18th was because I always go to the Superman celebration. Always. This year is the only year I didn't go. I've always had the belief of truth, justice, and the American way. I've lived by those words. I served in the military for 17 years. I'm a Gulf War veteran. I was also in Panama. I served by those words. I became a police officer in the year 2000. I served by those words. Truth, justice, and the American way. Mr. Woodyard put a FOIA request in for the report by Chief Evans, who gave it to Greg Lowe to investigate it. My job, I told Mr. Woodyard I did not have it because it was sent to the appellate court's office, but I would look for it. I denied his request at a time pending investigation. My thought was, how can you have an ethics committee when you only have one side of the story, ISP, when the AG's office said that our police department was doing reports, so I need to get that and look for it. And I looked for it. Sergeant Wilson had, I put him in charge of the investigation. He contacted the appellate court's office. They sent him some emails. Last Saturday, we got those emails and we discovered that the forms, the documents were stored at Alan Jow's office.
What?
May I continue? I only have 5 minutes. After that, I contacted Stacey Pinkerton on Saturday. She was head of that committee. And I asked her a few questions, but one question I wanted to ask her, I said, would this make a difference if you got to read this report for your FS committee? She said yes. Monday, I went to Mr. Yao's office. Not as a law enforcement officer, but I spoke to him just commonly, okay? I didn't go in there and say, I'm Chief Brothers, give me these reports, okay? Me and Alan sat back in the back, and Alan said, yes, he had those reports, and he would call Steve Waltrip. He did call Steve Waltrip. I came back to the village hall right after Mr. Waltrip was here. He said that Mr. Yao had called him, he's going to call him back. Throughout the whole week, I asked Mr. Waltrip to call Steve Allen so I can get those, Mr. Yao, I'm sorry, Mr. Yao to get those reports. Today, we were looking for a pair of left-handed scissors in my desk, Brian, because I'm left-handed and I have to have my left-handed scissors. So we were checking all the desks. We went to Greg's old desk and we found two thumb drives, and I asked Brian, I said, could these fit the reports on thumb drive? Brian's like, no, I can't because they're two small thumb drives. I went out to do my community service today. I scheduled a meeting with Prairie Land to talk to them. I went out to Pennell's Forklift to get some water for a CrossFit competition here in the village. Brian called me and advised me we got the reports on the disc, but they weren't the finished reports, they were the reports there. I had texted Steve at 7 o'clock. How would I not, Brian? I called him twice. He did not answer me, did he? So I had to thought this man needed to be paying attention to the mayor. So we went to go speak to the mayor, and I explained to him things that could happen from this. Okay? But the main thing was to get the reports. It took me to lay down my gun and my badge to have him call Steve Yao. Down, yeah. I love this village. I always have. I'm sorry.
You're all right. You're all right, Mike.
Good evening, everyone. I hope I can make it through this all without one of those gnats flying in my eyes, like it did earlier, because that is extremely painful, and they're everywhere. I'd like to first of all say that Mr. Brodus is a treasure to our community. And along with all the other officers who protect and serve us, we've lost a good leader, and the reason being is nothing that Mr. Brodus did. It's the inaction, the continued inaction of some of the members of this board. And when I say some, I'd like to point out very clearly the trustees Kim Wilson and new trustee Stacy Pinkerton have gone out of their way to dig for truth, to find justice, and they've had the door slammed in their face every time. So I thank the both of you for your continued efforts to not let crimes in the past go unchecked. That said, I too have spent my entire life in the village of South Jacksonville, born and raised, 34 years. I went to that school right across the street. I can name all of my teachers. I still talk to the ones that are still around. I love this community. When I signed up for the United States Marine Corps out of high school, and when I went to Iraq to fight on the front lines, I took an oath to protect and uphold the United States Constitution. That oath doesn't end, ever. And I want people to know that when the ISP report came out, when the WLDS story broke it down for us, we were all left in bewilderment. I'm an attorney. I'm trained in things that many people are not. I felt that if I have this knowledge and these skills, I would be letting my friends and my neighbors down if I didn't do anything about such clear injustice that I saw right in front of me. So I took action. Just the same way the clerk, Danny Glasscock, took action and ran for election. The same way the trustee, Kim Wilson, and Stacy Pigerton took action. The only reason why I could take action was because they took action. And I want people to know, despite some of the ways that it's been portrayed in some of the media outlets, I haven't received a dime for anything I've done. I may be an attorney, and I may be putting off clients that I could be billing to work on something that I'm passionate about, which is making sure that my community is a safe and just place to live. I want to make sure that we don't have a two-tier system of justice. Because if we start accepting the fact that government officials play by a different set of rules, when they get caught breaking the rules, they're not going to enforce it on themselves. But we're going to have the laws enforced on us. If that's the case, why don't we just get rid of the law, right? Why don't we get rid of ethics rules if we're not going to enforce them on ourselves? So I'd like to address Miss Sheila Myers back there. I take great offense to a claim that innuendo and hearsay is the only reason why we've got here. We got here, first and foremost, because the actions of a few caused the Illinois State Police to send their criminal investigators in here. You're shaking your head no, but that is very true. We are here because of the political shenanigans that we're not aware about, but we're going to find out. And it took the actions of citizens to show the local government the error in their ways. I've said it once and I'll say it again. I guarantee any of you go down to that gas station, steal a pack of gum, you're going to spend the weekend in the county. But here we are. We have produced document after document that shows, hell, there's $40,000 gone. There's $60,000 gone. There's an improper conversation with attorneys. Well, we're moving forward, folks, right? Let's just forget about it. Well, let me be very clear, and I think everyone will agree with me. Everyone wants to move forward. We can't sit there and say, well, we want to move forward like everybody else doesn't. It's just a matter of how we're going to move forward. Are we going to put on our blinders and forget about everything that's happened? There was a very famous politician back in the day that said something to the effect of, you don't clean up the mess of the past, you're going to relive it. So, you know, I walked up here, I'm usually in a suit, and that's the first thing that people notice. You know, I told the jokesters that it doesn't make any difference what I'm wearing. It hasn't. I've come in here, I've shown evidence to the board. I've attempted to explain the law to the board, oftentimes backed up by the Brown attorneys from Springfield. Contradicted, of course, by Alan Yao.
Mr. Maker, let's tie it up.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Walter. So, I'm not going to sit here and rant and rave anymore. I can't. I hope that you will make the right decision and not carry Gordon Jumper's illegal water pail and screw the strings out of their rightful place in this village. I ask you to consider the documents that we've shown you that shows some sort of at least questionable, maybe a breach of a fiduciary duty by a village attorney. I don't know. I've asked questions. We've never got answers. We're here because we haven't got any answers. And the things like Sony Smith Catering, heck, that's not even a big deal in the grand scheme of things. But I can't hate on the people that are bringing it up. They're frustrated. They live here. And they've gotten nothing but pushback from their government. So I'm not going to tell them to stop. Because if it is a minor breach of the law, well, are we going to treat the teenager caught with a joint the same way? And Ms. Smith, if you can clear up your name, why don't you? Why do you continue to make the village suffer because of your egotism? I ask you to produce the documents, clear your name. If you can't, then you've broken the law. You need to go. It's very clear. And it can be handled very simply. So thank you.
Next individual we have, Mr. Wigger, please.
I'm glad this podium's facing this way because I actually want to talk to you people. As you know, I'm Mike Woodyard. I run the Morgan County Watchdog page. Just briefly, how I got started on that was a friend I had met from the Edgar County Watchdogs. When they started out, they started finding little things like you're finding here. Edgar County is a small community. It's by Paris, Illinois. When they got done digging in that county, today, 130 elected officials or employees from municipalities, counties, townships have been arrested, resigned from office, or retired. 130 in one little county, approximately the size of Morgan County. This is going on all over. It's not isolated here. I started the Morgan County Watchdog page actually prematurely. It was an idea. I wasn't ready to start. What got me started was the report by WLDS News. I really, to be honest, hadn't paid that much attention, but I was thinking about all this. And I read this report, and I look at the link provided to the ISP report. And I start reading it. And I'm shocked. I'm literally shocked that these people are walking away. But you know what outraged me the most? You had good people in this community. Danny Glasscock, Kathy Simpson, Kathy Culpepper, Dick Samples. Now, people are up here today defending the prior administration. Where were you people when they were smearing the good people or blowing the whistle trying to clean your community up?
Right.
And you can't let these people down now. We keep getting these calls, let up on the pressure, let up on the pressure. No. It's just like Mr. Manker said. I don't know if you people understand it. I don't know this for fact. But everything I have seen, I have literally pored over your community's documents, what were given to us. Many of the FOIAs were withheld. We didn't get all the information we wanted. But I'm telling you, it's somewhere around that I think $1.72 million of your money is gone. Now, if you're happy about that and you think you just want to move on and you want to go away and you don't even want to find out, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's only $100,000.
No, we want to know, Mike.
I think you do want to know.
Yeah. Why are we doing what you're doing?
This is democracy. And if you do not participate, we lose it. Washington's gone. Springfield's gone. This is the closest you're going to get to a representative republic. Right here.
That's right.
And it's up to you folks. And that's why I'm here. I know I don't live in your community, but my goal is start one community at a time, one county at a time, and we work our way up the top and we get our country back from the corrupt bastards that are stealing it from us. And I will close on that, but I want to address Sonny. I want to say one thing to you personally. When I presented those documents, what I expected was you to be contrite and say, you know what, Boy, I'm sorry, you know, he's right, I missed that. And you probably could have walked away and been part of the new era. But you have shown exactly how we got here. I'm above the law. Who is this guy to come into my community and ask me questions, demand things from me? You've taken the same tyrannical stance that Gordon Jumper and some other people in this community have taken over the last few years. But as a Christian man, you basically implied I was a liar. The documents stand, I published. If you're going to call me a liar, you have to call Linda Day a liar from the Morgan County Health Department. You have to call Jill Wagner, the Morgan County clerk, a liar who provided me the documents. And I think it's best, as Mr. Manker said, to just resign. But as a Christian... as a Christian man, I forgive you.
Good for you, Mike.
One more thing I want to say to you people out here. The same reason I explained earlier was outraged me was watching the good people in this community that stood up for you be smeared and slandered. Mike Brogers just left. And if you people leave here tonight without that man being back in his uniform,
amen,
you have nobody to blame but yourself.
Okay, the next individual we have is Ms. Smith. Next slide.
I'm a resident right now. The accusations that were leveled at me during the last board meeting, the allegations were both unfound, untrue, and unnecessary. And the three payments that were made to me when I did food for the concert in the park, those payments were reimbursement for the food, the supplies, providing services to two full meals, snacks to about 30 people on each one of those events. It wasn't just the entertainers themselves, for it was also for the road crew. And it was things that I probably did not really charge everybody for, only the food. I did a lot of running around, I did a lot of prep, and I did not charge for my time because I am a resident of the village and I am on the board and I like to give back to my community. Do I care that I did not make anything on those events? No, because I have always put South Jacksonville first. I have personally helped to steer large projects and expensive improvements into the village, both through my community involvement and the organizations that I have worked for all these years. Many of the community organizations that I belong to and serve on look to improve parks and infrastructure of the city of Jacksonville and South Jacksonville. Had I not been involved and had I not put South Jacksonville first, many projects like Play for All Park would not have been built.
Can't prove that.
Allegations were made that I did not file an assumed name with Morgan County. An assumed name filing is required when you have businesses that is not in your own name. The checks were made out in my name, not some made-up name. If you had come to me personally and had asked to see my documents, my license, I would have happily showed them to you and we could have discussed this, but you chose not to do that. So at this time, I would like to say that I have a long history in the community and I do believe in giving back to the community that I live in. So as of this time, I tender my resignation.
guys let Mike be here without being chief, you're making the biggest mistake you ever made.
I'm sorry.
Is he being paid for being here tonight?
No.
Yes, he is.
Why?
Okay, we're moving into the rest of the meeting.
Let's, the facility doesn't want him here.